This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
0-2-2, and that foul line has been at the level. They made the two big ones the other night. National championship is in the balance. 13 seconds left. Florida leads it by two.
Uzan gonna go.
Uzan, give it up. Cryer, 6 seconds, 5 seconds, Sharp.
He walked, he can't touch it.
He can't, 1 second.
Not exactly the ending that you had hoped for, especially if you had Houston plus 1.5. I did have the under, though, and finished 14-10-2, Denton, overall in the tournament. I'll take that. Dallin Cuff has been with us before, and he joins us right now. He's with ESPN. He covers the sport, does a great job. You can follow Dallin on Twitter, at Dallin, D-A-L-E-N-C-U-F-F. He joins us now. I'm curious as to the way a lot of people described last night's game, because it was wild in so many different ways. But let's just start there. Somebody that didn't watch it, what would you say to them?
Good question, Kev. And just real quick on the betting piece, I was in Texas, so I could not place a digital wager there. I could buy an Uzi, but I can't bet. So I would have been on Houston plus 1.5, as I said, on ESPN Bet Live. So I would have been right there with you. I would have said it was not the prettiest game, but ultimately Florida out Houston at the end of that game. They were tougher. They were more physical. Houston had 4 straight turnovers in the last minute and a half to close out the game. And Florida found a way, where Houston seemed to do that quite a bit this season, whether it's Kansas, the game at Kansas, you know, 2 months ago, or it's Duke, we just saw a couple of days ago. They found a way to get it done, and that's what Florida did. They didn't play their best game. Walter Clayton didn't shoot it very well. Without Will Richard in the first half, they're not even in that game.
Right.
But everybody contributed. They defended. And when they ratcheted up their intensity, it was like Houston couldn't match it, and we hadn't really seen that before. So I would tell somebody it wasn't a pretty game, but it was an impressive game. And I think ultimately, it doesn't always happen in our sport where the best team wins the championship. UConn the last 2 years did do that. But a lot of times, you go back the last 20 years, you could easily say, I don't think that was the best team. I think the best team this year won the title. And they proved it, with a heck of a route to get to this point to cut down the nets.
Yeah, I mean, I think even in the first half, Dallin, like, the hellacious defense played by Houston was matched by Florida. But let me just give you what I spent some time on in the beginning, because I want your thoughts on this. I'm not a big, you know, the referees ruined the game guy. But you had two halves that were officiated so differently. In fact, I cannot remember a game, a high-profile game anyway, in which 4 fouls were called in the first half and 26 were called in the second half. And I'll give Florida credit for adjusting. Houston got in the more serious foul trouble, especially with their bigs, which forced them to go small, which I thought was a disadvantage. But have you ever seen anything like that?
No, and that was the problem. Like, and I was sitting there, and I think a lot of people that definitely people that play, but everybody that watching the game knows these things, that as soon as there were 5 fouls on Florida in the first 3 minutes of the second half, and it was at one point, I think it was 6-1 in fouls or 7-1 in fouls.
They're going to even it up.
Within the first couple minutes. I was like, they're going to even it up. Here we go. And that's just, it's a wrap. And I think there was one possession where Houston got called 3 fouls on one possession.
12 seconds. 3 fouls in 12 seconds.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good for anybody. So it didn't, it did not lend itself to a good game. That's a good officiating crew that I think did not have their best night. And once now, there were some of those were fouls. You got to call the fouls when they're fouls. It's just you didn't call them in the first half. And if that's how you're going to play it, then you got to play it that way. And when you start the second half with a different tone, you know, guys are trying to adjust. And yes, Florida's depth is important there. And the key, you know, some of the bigs for Houston getting in foul trouble is problematic. I thought that, I mean, Malik Wilson gave good minutes. I thought they could have overcome all that. But it affected their ability to offensive rebound, which was a big part of what they do, and defend at the highest level possible. So it changed the rhythm of the game. The guys weren't making yes. shots in the first half, but there was some there was a rhythm to the game. It was very disjointed the second half.
100%. And, you know, like I've heard people describe, or late last night or even early this morning, describe it as a game that needed to be taken over and gotten under control. I never felt at any moment last night that the game was on the verge of getting out of control, like, you know, too much chippiness or, you know, we're about to get somebody injured. I never felt that watching it. I just thought it was hellacious defensive basketball by Houston primarily in the first half, but Florida as well. I mean, Houston had a difficult time in the half court.
Yeah, and when you said that to people, I kind of furrowed my brow that it was like you needed to keep a lid on it. I didn't feel that way at all, and I don't think the arena felt that way. I mean, obviously, the bench getting a tee, and I know the staff very well. Todd Golden was at Columbia. I met him when he got there in 2012, and Kyle Smith was there and that whole tree. So I was with them afterwards, and the after party. We were joking. I wasn't sure who got the technical. Was it Carlin Hartman or was it Jonathan Sapphire? I don't know who on the bench got the tee. But that wasn't about necessarily the players. That was the coaches. And obviously, Chinalu getting a tee in the second half, can't spike the ball. But when you right. see a tee handed out like two technicals because players are going at it, or there's chippiness after the play, or there's, you know, skirmishes, I didn't see or feel any of that. And so I don't think you needed to keep a lid on it. I think you let the guys play. You set the tone. Both teams are super physical. Both teams are top 10 in defense. We know that. Both teams are top 10 in offense in terms of efficiency. And you kind of know what game you're going to you could get. And it was playing out kind of like we thought. I mean, Houston was getting good looks early. They didn't make them. Florida was not. Like, Clayton was really struggling with how they're blitzing the ball screens, and he wanted to take shots instead of facilitate. When he was facilitating, they were better. And they were struggling to adjust to what Houston does. And I don't think the referees had to change that. To me, it seemed fine. It got out of hand when we got whistle happy in the first minutes of the second half. And that's, to me, when they changed the game and changed the way they called it, not the other way around.
We're talking to Dallin Cuff from ESPN. He was there last night for Florida's national championship win over Houston in San Antonio, 65-63. Florida led for all of about a minute of the 40 last night in the game, but when it mattered the most. And you talked about, you know, at the beginning, and I agree with that description, they out-Houstoned Houston. You know, they had the best defensive sets at the end. But I would ask you, if you put any of it on the sets that Houston ran, I thought Golden was much better in the half court down the stretch than Kelvin Sampson's team was. What do you say?
I agree, and I think this is part of the challenge with Houston, though, in some of these situations. When you saw it toward the end, I'm trying to remember what game it was. I was in the studio for a game like the last week or two of this, maybe it was the Big 12 tournament, where I was just like, they're not giving any motion. They're not giving any movement. They're just trying to play a little bit of ISO ball, and that's not exactly the best way for these guys to score. And I feel like that's the way they did it down the stretch. I forget, might have been Shani Lewis said it to me after the game. Might have been Elijah Martin. They said, like, once it started for us, we feel like we got good defenders. We were locked in. We were connected, so if we needed the help, we were there. Yes, they did not have the right answers offensively. In the last play, I heard Kelvin as I was walking out of the arena because we were on the floor doing the stuff with the winners, but I heard his first presser was still going on when we were done. And I walked in to hear it, and he was trying to explain they wanted Sharp to come up there and shot fake and try to drive it and get downhill. My problem is there was 12 seconds wasted before you got it to Sharp. Like, I'm not sure what they were doing really on that last possession because, I mean, Uzan had a chance to go. Then I felt like, okay, I see Cryer coming off this little pin down this down screen. This is first for Cryer, but then Sharp's coming up, rotating up. They just was so much time was wasted, and they just didn't get a shot off. It was indicative, to your point, of how they ended things offensively. It was just it was not playing together. It was not, you know, connected, and it didn't seem like it had a real points to their movement and what they were trying to accomplish there in those last few minutes, and particularly that last possession. And that's the joy and agony of this tournament is these. It's just for 40 minutes. It's a one and done scenario, and there's going to be people that remember this forever with smiles and joy. And those Houston guys will remember that forever with pain, just like Tyrese Proctor remember missing that free throw for the rest of his life.
It's interesting because I actually thought that that was a better set there at the end than the previous possessions. And he just, you know, you played. He's got somebody closing out on a three. The basketball feel play is pump fake, watch Walter Clayton Jr. fly by, gather yourself with a dribble, and you got an open three to win the game, or a drive if he wants to drive it. It just was an unnatural kind of reaction. And, you know, he was pretty trigger happy much of the night. Like, he didn't take long to get it out of his hands in the first half. You know, there was not a lot of patience, and he didn't show it there on the final play either.
No, and I think it's really hard to do that, and it's hard to second guess it. But yes, I mean, he with that clock winding down, yeah, he should have shot fake, and he should have either got really shot fake, could have gotten into his body. I mean, it was a heck of a contest. He may have made a contact if he really did that.
Yeah.
But it was, to your point, yes, the set itself isn't bad if it's like, you know, with 2 minutes to go in the game. When you're down one with 19 seconds with a lot of wasted motion.
Yeah.
That's where I was surprised by it. Not the fact that they actually had some movement, like relative to the other possessions, they had movement and they had guys setting screens for each other to create some angles and some space. Now, it was a hell of a closeout, hell of a contest by Clayton.
Yeah.
You got to make the guy make a play, and it was a great contest, and he got out there and Sharp just didn't make a good basketball play. And granted, it was the two possessions before he dribbled it off his leg and didn't make a great basketball decision there either. I mean, he was forcing a little bit more than you'd want to see him force, for sure, and it kind of culminated in that.
All right. I know you got to run. Let me just ask you two more. Number one, what kind of pro do you think Clayton Jr. is going to be?
Well, I mean, he's a great shot maker, and he'll play better in space. I think one thing people forget when you get to the NBA, like, you just have so much more space. And there's just better players, more spacing, and more things to operate in. We see the shots he can make and the distance by which he can shoot it, so he'll be good in terms of the offensive side of the ball. The defensive side of the ball, he'll have to be more committed. I mean, he was the one guy at times, like, they're defensively really good, but he can kind of just kind of shut it down at times, which is a big problem. So, I mean, he'll be a good player. I'm interested to see. I mean, he went from like a second-round pick to being like a top 20 pick through the tournament. I always find that fascinating. That doesn't make any sense to me when things move like that. Then if that comes to fruition, we'll see as he goes through the workouts and stuff. But, I mean, the kid can really play and continue to work on his game and improve all the time.
What about Derek Queen? What kind of pro do you think he ends up being?
He could be special. He is super gifted. I mean, you guys see it. I mean, you saw it all the time. Like, he is just super talented and can grab the ball off the rim and go. And I mean, there's plenty of upside. And people say, well, he's already 20. He's only 20, okay? We're obsessed with age in the NBA. That's the 1 year different than he should be. A little bit older for a freshman.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just uber skilled. And from everybody who talked to you around that program, his knowledge of the game and how he sees the game is what makes him really, really impressive and special. And you don't want to use the term Jokic because that guy is literally something we've never seen before. But in that mold of a big that can put on the deck, can shoot, can pass, can have great feel, I think he'll be an outstanding pro for a decade plus. And hopefully he'll make some All-Star games and do some things at a really high level. But, I mean, the sky is really the limit for him.
Dallin, thanks. Appreciate the time.
Anytime, guys. Be well.
Yep, Dallin Cuff from ESPN was there last night. Yeah, I didn't watch a lot of the postgame, Denton, so I have not watched it. I'm curious to go back and just see what Kelvin Sampson said. The fact that they were running it for Sharp, and you could see, like, Cryer and then off that stagger screen and the down screen for Sharp to come up. But it actually worked. It was the best and the most organized and the most structured play they had run down the stretch. He just made a terrible mistake. And I agree with Dallin, too, and we talked about this, you know, in the open to the show, that I think with Houston, you put that ball in play at 19.2 or whatever, 19.7, you're down two, your best scoring opportunities consistently have come on offensive rebounds and second chances. So going a little bit faster and getting that ball up on the rim with, say, 10, 9, 8 seconds left probably would have been a better overall strategy rather than playing for what they clearly played for, which was a last shot and a last shot three to win it. And maybe he looked at it as, I don't want to go to overtime because I'm in more foul trouble than Florida. Florida did not end up with one player with four fouls or more. You know, they had 11 fouls called against them in the game. Houston had 19. Houston, you know, lost Tugler to fouls. Francis was in foul trouble. Uzan was in foul trouble. Cryer ended up with three or four. And, you know, it was a great point that Dallin made. You know, once he saw that Florida got whistled for a bunch of fouls in the first 3 minutes of the second half, he knew that they were coming back the other way, you know, to even it up. And that's what got the foul fest started, you know, in that second half, because there were five fouls, I think, on Florida before Houston got whistled for their first. And then Houston had, here it is at the 13-minute mark. Hold on. Between 13 minutes and 47 seconds and 13 minutes and 38 seconds. So I was wrong. This is 9 seconds elapsed, three fouls on one team. That's almost impossible for it to happen. In 9 seconds, Houston got whistled for three straight fouls. That's crazy. And then it just kept coming the rest of the way. 26 fouls called in the second half, four in the first half. You know, that's one that I'll remember from last night's game. It changed the feel of the game, the rhythm of the game. It certainly changed the way Houston could guard because they were much more physical, as was Florida in the first half. And then them kind of losing bigs to foul trouble made them go small for big portions of that second half. And that was a better lineup for Florida to attack. And I give Golden a lot of credit. I mean, Clayton Jr. had 0 points in the first half. Actually, I don't think we talked about this earlier. Why they kept, you know, giving him screens, ball screens, made no sense because it was just bringing the double. You know, once they screened and brought another defender into the equation, he ended up getting doubled on all those. When they either used him off the ball or they didn't screen for him is when he started to get some looks. And, you know, they ran a couple of really good of the, you know, those high post plays that worked really well with him sort of making the pass and cutting backdoor. Anyway, good game. Could have been better. I think the referees had a lot to do with why it could have been better. But Florida was awesome. You know, they were awesome, you know, the last 3 months of the season. The last 2.5 months of the season. Really good team, well-coached team, as was Houston. I think Duke, you know, was right there in the conversation. I think we had separation between these two teams last night along with Duke. And then I think Auburn probably was, you know, with a couple of other teams next in line. I never thought Auburn was at that Duke-Houston or Florida level. But anyway, I'm trying to think, you know, there wasn't a team that should have been further along, right? There wasn't a team that we felt like totally underperformed in the tournament. Maybe Wisconsin, but they lost to BYU in a great game.
We thought it was going to be Michigan. Everybody thought Michigan was going down early.
Yeah, and they ended up winning two games, right?
Right. With no upsets, there was really no, like, massive disappointments.
Iowa State was injured coming in as a 3 seed. We knew that they were vulnerable going into it. You know, Clemson got beat in the first round. They were a 5. St. John's was, I think, a big disappointment for a lot of people. Not getting out of the second round was a big disappointment for St. John's after the regular season that they had and the Big East year that they had. That would be the one.
I had them in the Final Four, too. So you're right. That is a good one.
I think that's probably the best one. because we lost a two seed in the second, you know, in the second round. But man, that was a chalky, chalky tournament. But it provided a really, really good Final Four. I mean, three really excellent games, two incredible games on Saturday night, and last night certainly a memorable final, for sure. Would have been much more memorable had Houston gotten a three off, knocked it down for a walk-off. All right, Denton, I will see you at your wedding on Friday, but this was our last show together. Denton will be moving on to much greener and richer pastures, and I'm happy for him. I'm back tomorrow. Chris is next.